Good morning. We are going to be in the book of John this morning. John chapter 11. Now this, John chapter 11, it really is an interesting chapter. And, you know, when it comes to Christ's miracles, he did a whole lot of them. I believe that this one is, you know, like it was like building up to this point where he does this miracle. This, we find he raises Lazarus from the dead. And, I mean, that is an incredible miracle. I think personally, this is the most amazing miracle Christ did. I mean, he did raise people from the dead before, and he did a whole lot of things, but I mean, this guy was dead for 4 days, and he raised him. It's not like, you know, he was there for 40 minutes, and I think recently something like that happened in the news. They actually started a guy's heart back after 40 minutes, something like that. I may be wrong, but something like that, really interesting. But this was Christ raising somebody that was 4 days dead. I mean, they were saying, he stinketh, you know? What are you going to do with him? So I think it's just an amazing miracle. I think this was his last public miracle before, you know, his death. His last public miracle. He did other little, you know, things, I think, privately afterwards. But this was his last real big public miracle. And I think it was, of course, to be able to, he wanted to show, he wanted to prove to them he was the Christ, which he did. I think this miracle was just, there was no denying. I mean, these Jews that were unbelieving towards him, they just were plain rebellious because there was no denying the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. And this miracle just culminates all of that. And this miracle provided that evidence that they needed. Now, I think whenever we're reading through these things, these miracles that Jesus did, I don't know, for some reason, I think we are very numb to the supernatural. I think that's because of our entertainment. You know, our entertainment provides us so much that we're just kind of numb to what's, you know, actually extraordinary because we're bombarded with fantasy, you know? Oh, there's all these, you know, X-Men and people that can teletransport and do all these crazy things. And we're just so bombarded with fantasy that when we see something that's actually quite amazing, sometimes we just kind of skip over it as, you know, it's not a big deal. That's crazy to think about that. I mean, if you watch The Walking Dead, you know, there's all these, you know, dead people walking around, zombies, and it's like people can't even kill them. And, you know, you're like, oh, you know, raising a dead guy, it doesn't sound so amazing when you've been bombarded with such fantasy. But I think we just have to keep in mind, this is an amazing thing that Jesus Christ did. Let's try to keep, you know, I think, you know, the less fantasy stuff we're watching, you know, try to stay in reality. And you would be amazed at everything Jesus did if we're in reality. Now, what happens here is Lazarus is sick. And he gets to the point where he dies from this sickness. And you know, life really is full of trouble. As Job said, you know, as the sparks fly upward, that's life. Life is full of trouble. And I think this is very important for us to talk about because it's good to be reminded that even in trouble, you know, God has a purpose. God is doing things, even in our trouble, and that we will go through trouble. We have to be reminded of that. We have to be reminded of that. And maybe we need to be prepared for that if it is that we're not going through trouble right now. For some people right now, maybe you need to hear, hey, you're going through trouble. You need to be reminded about this. And this story might help. But for others, you know, you may think, oh, my days are very joyful and I'm never going to see trouble. And you need to prepare yourself because there will be trouble. Trouble does come. And I believe America right now is rejecting the Bible more and more. And I see in the future, Christianity is going to be more and more difficult. And there's going to be more and more trouble for Christians.
I don't think that the Christian life is going to continue to be very easy. And I think it has been for a long time here in America. And I think it's just going to get very, very difficult sooner or later for the Christian life here. So with that, let's get into it. John chapter 11. I'm just going to start off at verse 33. And I'm kind of going to go through this answering questions. We're not going to read, just in order all the verses. I think we're just going to answer some questions that are spoken here and that arise from reading this. So starting at verse 33, it says, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Now that's the question. We're here, we're faced with somebody that Jesus really loved. And not only was it Lazarus that he really loved, he loved this family. He loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. I mean, he loved them. And whenever this happened to Lazarus, he breaks down and weeps. He's troubled in spirit. He's groaning. It's a hard thing for him to see. And when the people around him saw how much trouble this caused Jesus, how he got to the point of weeping, they said, "Man, Jesus loved this man." And they come up with this question and they ask, "Could not this man, this Christ, this one that could heal the sick, the man who could give eyesight to the blind, could not he have saved Lazarus?" And that's a fair question. Could not Jesus have caused even this man that he should not have died? Couldn't Jesus have saved Lazarus? And of course we know the answer to that. The answer is yes. Jesus could. Jesus could have saved Lazarus. And you know, whatever problems you're going through, whatever trouble you're going through, whatever needs and anything that you're suffering right now, the truth is Jesus can do something about it. And you know, we should put a lot of focus on prayer. And I think that's a great thing about, you know, us getting together on Wednesday nights, because I think it's very important for us to get together and pray, because our Lord does have the power to do things. He can change things. He can do anything he wants. He has the power to do that. He could take away a sickness instantly. He could change somebody's hearts like that. Christ has the power to do the things we need. And so prayer is very important. And I think we should remember that. Yes, he can solve the problems. He can solve your suffering. He can take care of these things. But the question comes up is, okay, well, if he can and he does have the power to, you know, why doesn't he? Verse 21, when Jesus is coming, verse 21 shows us how Martha, she ran unto Jesus, and she said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Same thing that happened also to Mary. Mary in verse 32, Mary was come where Jesus was. She saw him and she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." The answer is yes. If Jesus had been there, he would not have died. Around Jesus, there was no death. He took care of everything. He was life. He is life. Around him isn't death. He takes care. He fixes. He makes things better. And so they knew if you had been here, he would not have died. But what it goes to show is that Christ does allow trouble in people's life. And especially since this is what the passage we're on, he allows trouble in those he loves. Even the people he loves, he allows trouble to come into their life. Look at verse 5 and 6. This is when Christ hears about this sickness and is told about it. verse 5 and 6, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." He was in no hurry to rush over and run over and heal Lazarus. He hears about this sickness and he just stays still. He doesn't go. He takes 2 days to even go. Now, you know, maybe that's how some of us feel sometimes. We're thinking, "Lord, help me out." It's like, where are you? Where is the answer? What do I do? How do I get out of this? And we're thinking, "Lord, where are you?" And just so you know, yes, sometimes God just takes a while to answer. He takes a while. He may sometimes just allow you to go through some trouble. And I mean, this happens with our kids. You know, they're trying to do something. And Jason specifically right now, he just gets so mad when he can't do something. He gets so frustrated. He's like, "Oh, why can't I do this?" And he gets so mad. And you know, I let him go through that frustration, because I know it's something he needs. He needs to learn how to get through things. And so God sometimes does that to us also. He never promised to jump down and fix every little problem that we have. Now, if that's the idea you had of coming to Christ, if that's the idea you have of prayer, whenever you pray, you're expecting God to just, anything you say and everything you want, he just does it, then you're mistaken. And, you know, I don't think it'll take long for you to find out that's not how it works. Christ allows trouble. Christ allows even those people he loves, he allows them to suffer. And I don't even know if it's even the ones he loves or especially the ones he loves. He might just especially the ones he loves allow them to suffer a little more. Now that's hard to, understand. But that's, it's part of suffering. I mean, suffering involves a lot of things you don't understand. If you understand it all, you had control of everything, you could fix everything. But part of suffering is you got to learn that there's just some things you don't understand. And that's what happens here. Martha and Mary, they're confounded on why Jesus? Why did you allow this to happen? If you had been here, he would not have died. So the question that comes up is obviously, Christ had the power to heal Lazarus. He could have. He could have even done it from a distance. We've seen him heal people from a distance, haven't we? He could have done it anywhere he was. But he didn't. And the question is why? Why did he allow such suffering? Such suffering that it was hurtful for him to see this family go through this. But he allowed it to happen. And the passage does reveal the will of God and the work that he did in this situation. So that's what I want to look at a little bit. Why did Jesus let this happen? First of all, I want to notice that he allowed this to happen because he wanted this situation to produce faith. Let's go to verse 42, verse 45. Now, again, this is a miracle. This is a most amazing miracle. In fact, people would come afterwards, from miles around because they wanted to see Lazarus. Because this was one of his desires. This was the will of God. He wanted this to come out of this situation. Verse 42 says, "And I knew that thou hearest me," Jesus is speaking, "always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Also in verse 45, it repeats it. It says, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him." This miracle, this working, this suffering that the family had to go through produced faith in unbelievers. Jews came and they saw this and it caused them to believe on Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you, I think that is a worthwhile goal. If suffering accomplishes people to actually believe on Jesus Christ, that is a goal that is worth your suffering. That's it. It's worth your suffering if it can cause people to believe on Jesus Christ. Because remember, belief on Jesus Christ, salvation, faith produced in a person's life is very important. It's the most important thing there is. Get somebody to know Jesus Christ. What else? I mean, we have that purpose in our life. We want people to know Jesus Christ, people who didn't believe Him before. If they can see somehow, if through our suffering, we can get them to believe on Jesus Christ, it is well worth it. And I think obviously Jesus knew that because He allowed it to happen. And He allowed it to happen, and the results were people were believing on Jesus Christ. Now, I believe hope is one of the essentials to the Christian life. I believe that we have a hope that other people do not have.
Right.
And that is what will cause somebody that does not believe in Christ to switch their mind, to change their mind. When they see that a Christian can go through suffering and take it on as Paul did and see that this little suffering that we suffer here isn't but comparable to what glory we're going to have in the future. If we can have our eyes set on Christ and the suffering that we go through here, we can, like Job, still not curse God. We can bless God even through our sufferings. People might just be interested in knowing why you have such hope in your life. Because we do have hope. We have the hope of resurrection, and that's something that nobody else has. No other religion has that hope of resurrection. No religion, nothing religion can offer gives you that hope of eternal life. That is only found in Jesus Christ. And it's found because even as He says in this passage, He talks about, He says it, I am the resurrection. See, Jesus Christ is the resurrection. The resurrection isn't some day far, you know, beyond one day that's going to happen. Because that's what Martha was thinking. She was thinking, oh, I know one day he's gonna resurrect. No. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I'm the one with that power. I'm the one that gives life. And I am going to resurrect people. I'm going to give them new life, full life, eternal life. That is the hope of a Christian. And it's a hope that you can't find in religion. You can't find in your own works. You can't find it anywhere. You can only find it in Jesus Christ. And that's why when Christians suffer, we can go through suffering, and it is still suffering. It is still suffering when you go through it. But there's true hope behind that suffering. And that can set you apart from everybody else that suffers. That can set us apart from anybody else that goes through these problems because we have true hope in Jesus Christ. And you find this, I mean, Paul talks about this in Thessalonians and all the, read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I mean, hey, great hope that we have. Even those that have died, you know, he says, we can expect they're going to be lifted up even before us. They're going to be raised up and we're going to meet Christ in the air. Man, that's hope. And we can comfort one another with these words. We've got real hope. Amen. When that's something nobody else has, they can see us go through suffering. We can suffer, but we can go through that suffering with hope. And that can cause and produce faith in unbelievers. And man, that's a worthwhile goal. If you go through suffering, oh man, you know, we can pray for God to take away the suffering. That's great. I hope He does. But if He's not answering that prayer, man, why don't we pray for Him to use our suffering to get some people saved? That's another good prayer. You know, if He's not taking away your suffering, look for some other answers, maybe some other goals. God has His way of reaching people. We don't always understand how that is. You know, you don't know who He's going to touch and how He's going to reach them. You just don't know. it might take you to go through some suffering. And if it is, hey, but I mean, didn't Jesus call Paul for that very purpose? Jesus calls Paul and he's like, oh, I want to show him. I want to show him all these things I have for him. Oh, whoa, what things do you have for him? Oh, I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer. He's going to suffer and he's going to suffer for me. And man, that's what his calling to Paul was. You're going to suffer. But Paul is rejoicing in his suffering. He says, man, I got the sufferings of Christ. I can be partaker in the sufferings of Christ. Man, joy through suffering, because that could cause some people to believe that same message or the same testimony. In fact, may cause some people to believe, and at the same time may cause other people to just be more stubborn and rebellious. John 12, just right next to it. John 12, verse 9. He says, much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Now, just to remind you, this would not have been possible. This would not have happened if this family hadn't gone through this terrible suffering for days and days. I don't know how long he was sick. And then days of them knowing he was going to die. And we called for Jesus and Jesus is not coming. All this suffering. It would not have been possible that people would hear about Lazarus and come to see Jesus. To see Jesus and see Lazarus. It would not have been possible if they hadn't gone through the suffering. But not only did people that wanted to see Lazarus come. Sorry, Brian gave me a spot. I think I'm just... that cough is... I'm learning from you, brother. I'm really learning. Yes, yeah, we can stretch that out. So, we're in verse 10 of chapter 12. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Can you see what's happening? This is such an amazing thing that the results of this suffering accomplished so great that the chief priests are thinking, what are we going to do? There's so many Jews that are leaving us to follow Christ because of Lazarus. But he had to go through this suffering for this to be possible. Him, Mary, Martha, they had to go through this suffering for this to happen. And that just, I think we need to have that on the back of our minds. That sometimes we might need to go through suffering. And boy, if there's something we can pray for in our suffering, let's pray that Jesus use it to bring people to faith, to produce faith in somebody. And you know, this is really interesting. Just, let's go to Luke chapter 16, because how interesting this is. These Pharisees were so stubborn. They seen something that only the Messiah could do. Only somebody truly, as it was said before, right? Sent from God. Only somebody come from God. Only the Messiah could have done. Raising Lazarus from the dead. And yet they still did not believe. They still did not want to repent. They still did not want to do that. Look at Luke 16. You want to call it a parable, a story. Maybe it really did happen. I don't know. But Jesus tells this story about a man that was poor and died. His name was Lazarus. And the rich man died and he went to hell and he was in torment. And this rich man says to Abraham, he says, can you send Lazarus from the dead to go, you know, get him back, give him life, resurrect him so that he can go tell my brothers, because I don't want them to come to this torment. And what an answer here from Abraham. In verse 28, this is the petition. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You know, some people, they probably will not, they will not believe no matter what. They have just decided they do not want to believe. And you know, we think, man, if we could raise people from the dead, that would get things going. But you know, some people, no matter what, even a person risen from the dead would not convince them, would not persuade them. If the Word of God has not persuaded them and can't persuade them, not even a person rising from the dead could persuade them. And this happens after that, and it happens, and we see that it's true. Not even a Lazarus coming back from the dead could persuade these men. And you know, that's sad. Don't let that be you. If you're not allowing the Word of God to be the one working and moving and convincing and persuading you, if you're not allowing that to happen, then boy, what are you expecting? What are you waiting for? What do you want God to show you? If you're not willing to listen to His Word, even if somebody came back from the dead, they wouldn't persuade you. Because the Word of God is all you need. You need to listen to the Word of God. So it produced faith. And boy, we want God to use our suffering to produce faith also. Now, it produced faith in unbelievers, but it also did something else. And we can go to verse 11 for that. So that's chapter 11, verse 11 in John. It also strengthened the faith of believers. Again, another interesting conversation between Jesus and his disciples, as they were back then. It says, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. So again, all this confusion, these disciples never really quite got Jesus. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, this is what we need, right? Sometimes, hey, just tell me plainly. You need to tell me right there plainly. And he says, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad. Now listen to what Jesus says. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Wow. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Jesus knew that if he was there, he would have saved Lazarus. Lazarus had to suffer. And Jesus says, I am glad for your sakes. For you. Do you know sometimes, isn't that interesting? Your suffering might not have anything to do with you at all.
Right.
What? Nothing to do with you. It's not about teaching you a lesson. It's not about working with you. It's just, oh, you know what? I need to teach Amanda a lesson. And so I'm just going to use you, Rosie. What? You know? How can that be? Man. He says, I'm glad for your sakes. Now we know he was weeping over Lazarus. We know he was weeping over Mary and Martha's sake. But he was glad for their sake because they needed something and it was only going to be accomplished if they saw it happen. Their faith was so weak, man, they really were. But he says, this is going to be for you. This is going to be for your faith, for your belief. And they needed it. Oh, man. So you might just have to go through suffering for somebody else's sake. You know, sometimes you suffer for no fault of your own. I mean, we see this clearly in Job. And it might not be by a fault of your own, but it might be just because you're actually living good and right and well. You may be doing everything the best you can. You may be following Christ, you know, 100%. And then, oh, he's going to choose you. It's just, you know, with us, in our mind and our such so small of understanding, we're thinking, what is going on? But it just might happen. Again, this isn't, you know, a merry thought to have, but we do need to be just prepared. Be prepared to suffer. That could be the title of this message. Be prepared to suffer. He may just use you to deal with somebody else in the church. And you know, again, the way you deal with suffering, the way you deal with things you go through is going to leave an impact on somebody else. And the truth is, you should learn this in your life anyway. The way you deal with problems is going to leave an impact on your children. What your children see from you, they're going to be impacted. And it's going to affect them one way or another. You need to have that in the back of your mind. Because, boy, what you do has an effect. And the same thing with in the church. The way you handle suffering and problems is going to affect somebody else. And you can have good effects on people. And you know, you could do something that could affect everybody else. That would be a good thing. You see these videos, you know, of people going out into a public place and they just all start staring up at the sky. And you're like, oh, look, oh, wow, wow. And you know, everybody passing by is like, what's going on? And they start looking, and you know, all of a sudden everybody's looking up. What's going on? What is everybody looking at? It's interesting how you can have an effect on everybody else. You can have an effect on everybody else by the way you handle suffering. Oh, but isn't there another way, Lord? There might not be. There just might not be. You might just have to go through things. And the truth is that some things you're just going to have to suffer. And that might be the only way you're able to help somebody else. Some things, like Christ, he went through temptation. Now, he went through it without sin, but he went through temptation. And he did that so that he could be able to succor us, to help us, to be there with us, to have compassion on us, to be able to help us through these things. And you just might have to be able to do that also. You might go through things and not understand what's happening and not understand what's going on. And then 20 years later, somebody might be going through that same thing. And you have the answer. Or you at least can sympathize with them and help them out. You can at least show them, hey, I went through that too, and I know it's hard, but you can get through this. And that may be all you can do, and it may be just enough to help somebody else out. It may be just enough to encourage somebody else, to give somebody else a little spark of faith, and to go through some things. And it all had to happen through your suffering. You have to suffer in order to help some other people out. It just, sometimes that's the way it has to be. Okay, so it produced strength, faith, and it strengthened faith. But again, like we like God and Christ to be very plain with us. He is very plain. In chapter 11, verse 4, he is very plain about why this happened to them. In verse 4, he says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, this sickness is not unto death. What? He did die because of this sickness. Well, no, Jesus knew more than that. Jesus knew further on. Jesus knew the outcome. Even though you can't see the outcome, Jesus can see the outcome. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Even when you don't understand, even when you can't see that. I mean, have you never seen something in the Bible? You read it and you're thinking, what? How can that be? You need to just trust, because some things that may not seem possible can happen. And he might just bring them to pass. He says, this sickness is not unto death. Now you can just imagine the disciples when they got there and saw that Lazarus was dead, what they were thinking. Oh, Jesus, what? You just told us it wasn't unto death. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. He knows more than you. He knows more. But he says, the reason, the purpose for this is for the glory of God. Amen. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Wow. And that just might be the purpose for your suffering. Your suffering may be just for the glory of God. You might just have to suffer for the glory of God. I'm going to read something in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter writes to people, to brothers that are going through a lot of suffering. And, you know, I think 1 Peter is really good to read if you're going through suffering. Especially if it's suffering, you could say, unjustly or not for your fault. Whenever you suffer, I think we should automatically first think about ourselves, you know. Hey, am I suffering because of something I did? That should be our first thought that pops up into our head, right? If you're sick because you've been, you know, smoking for years and years and now you have lung cancer, you know, okay, well, you might just be suffering because of your bad decision, you know, doing something that was going to harm you. And so, you know, if you're suffering, think about it. Think about where you need to, you know, switch things up or work on things. But maybe you're suffering unjustly. 1 Peter is a good book to read. 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 12 and through 16. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Now again, he says, basically he's saying, you can expect it.
Right.
Expect to suffer. Be prepared to suffer. Don't think it's something strange when you suffer. This is his exhortation. Don't think it's a strange thing that happened to you. Verse 13, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you." And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." You can glorify God when you're suffering for doing right. Now that is a thing. That's a joyful thing. When God can see you suffer for doing something right, And the reason you're suffering is because you're surrounded by evil. You're surrounded by people that hate you because they hated Jesus. You're surrounded by a lion, a roaring lion that wants to devour you, which is Satan. And so whenever you're doing good, you will suffer. And he says, happy are ye. Woo! Joyful to be a sufferer for Jesus, because it glorifies him. Now he says, don't suffer, right, as an evildoer. Don't suffer, you know, go to jail because you're doing something wrong. You know, what kind of suffering is that? How is that going to be glorious? But suffer by doing right, doing good things. And just a side note, it says there, you know, he talks about murderers, thieves, evildoers, and he mentions busybodies. Like, whoa, that's a little, you know, out of place? No. Just interesting. You know, sometimes your care or concern might just be busybodying. I think, you know, there's a line there. I think you should think about that. But don't suffer as that. You're getting into other people's business, and you know, now they're gonna, you know, tell you to stay away from them and you know, cause you a little suffering. You know, don't suffer for those kinds of reasons. Stop suffering for bad decisions and dumb mistakes and dumb things. Learn to do things the right way. And then start suffering for Christ. Wow. That is like you're getting to the next level, right? Now you can suffer, not for your own doing, but you can suffer for Christ, for well-doing. And then all these verses that talk about, you know, be not weary in well-doing, they actually mean something. Because whenever you're doing well and you're suffering for it, you're going to have to push yourself to continue doing well. Because it's easy when you start suffering for doing well to just want to give in. Which I think is very dangerous for American Christianity, because I don't think we're really expecting a lot of suffering. And I think whenever that suffering and pressure comes, it's going to be really easy for us to just give in. And I think we already do a lot of that. I think Christianity has done a lot of that. Just give in. Oh, you don't want me to bring up these things. Okay, well, just give in. I think sooner or later, it's going to come to the point where we're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to be willing to stand up for Christ and be willing to suffer whatever consequences come with that? Are we going to just give in and not suffer? I think we need to be prepared to suffer. Because suffering brings results that God wants in us. It brings results in your own life, yes. If you suffer with Christ, you will be glorified with Christ. And if you suffer with Christ, there's going to be things in your life that you get better at and learn from. And it's going to be a tremendous thing for you. But even if it's not just for you, it may just be for somebody else. You may be suffering just to give God glory. Just for God to be glorified that you were able to go through suffering and not blaspheme Him. And still bless Him in the end. And through what all Job did, he could be glorified in that suffering. Wow. You could be going through suffering just because somebody else in the church needs it. They just need to be, they need to see somebody who goes through suffering and can continue in well-doing so that they can have strength to do that also. You may be suffering so that somebody you don't even know yet can one day hear about you or see your testimony and be converted and produce faith in somebody that was an unbeliever because they saw your suffering and your hope that you have in Jesus Christ. I don't know what your suffering is for. I don't know what our suffering might come from. I do know, though, that suffering is a part of life. And sooner or later, it's going to come. And I think it's going to come on Christians in the United States, because the United States is rejecting the Bible more and more. And if you're going to be willing to stand up for the Bible, stand up for Christ, stand up for God, you will have trouble on this earth. But don't fear, be of good cheer, because Christ has overcome the world. And that's why we can be joyful, even in trials. We can be happy, even in fiery trials of our faith. Don't think it a strange thing if we're suffering and if we're going through these trials, because suffering is part of the Christian life. But it's to give God glory and honor, and it's to strengthen the brethren, and it's to produce faith in others. So let's go through trials and suffering the Christian way, right? Joyfully, not cursing God. We don't have to, you know, get to such a point of despair where we want to, you know, take our own lives. We don't have to go through that, because we have something to live for, and it's more than ourselves. We got to take examples like Paul, who suffered through a lot of things, but he did it, and he did it willingly for Christ. And we can draw strength from that, and we can give strength to others. So, man, this is a great chapter. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. May the Lord bless you today. Amen. Amen.